Have you ever faced a challenge that seemed impossible to overcome? Then you need to hear the inspiring story of Courtney Robinson, who, despite battling serious health challenges, shares her incredible journey of resilience, self-discovery, and learning to embrace life's possibilities. You're listening to This Woman Can. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland, where I help mature professional Black women take charge of their careers and lives to create a future on their terms. Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. And I have a guest with me this week. I have Courtney Robinson. Courtney is a dynamic speaker and style mentor at Image by Courtney. With a distinguished career spanning over 20 years, Courtney has established herself as an award-winning global manager, leading cross-functional teams in clinical research. Her journey is marked by a relentless pursuit of excellence and a commitment to making a significant impact in the corporate world. Over the last 7 years, Courtney has seamlessly integrated professional acumen into a new realm, dedicating her expertise to empowering entrepreneurs and professionals. And you know I love a good transition story. As a style mentor, she guides individuals to align their wardrobe and image with their passions, personality, and lifestyle. Courtney's approach transcends conventional styling. She facilitates a customized experience that creates wardrobes projecting authenticity, poise, and confidence. And given we've just had a conversation about my glasses and being authentic, that's a great way to lead in. Welcome, Courtney. How are you doing today?
Hi, Janice. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So the question I always kick off with is, tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
That's a great question. And my journey hasn't been linear by any means. But gratefully, it's really propelled me into my purpose. So I started in clinical research, as you mentioned, 20 mm-hmm. years ago, and I started at the bottom, right? I started in clinical ordering, customer service on phones, and had the opportunity to really work my way through the ranks into leadership. And so that came with making, many strategic moves between mm-hmm. companies and gaining experience in different facets of the industry, biotech and pharmaceuticals, and then landing in a place where I felt like I could finally start to grow in leadership. And so during that time, I also went back to school rather late, probably mid to late 30s, and obtained my master's in business, which really wasn't to grow professionally, because I was growing without the degree. The degree was really for my own edification. It's something that I really wanted, and it really impacted my confidence more than anything, giving me the ability to really assert myself with other colleagues, especially among men in the industry that I'm in. And so, but that was one of the pivotal parts of my career, was gaining that degree and getting more confidence in my leadership capabilities and abilities, knowing that I too could lead and that I had just as much experience and, prowess as all my other colleagues, and could leave, my mark, within the industry.
Fabulous.
So, I still am in corporate. This is year 20 for me. It is my desire to transition out, and I'm waiting for that nudge from God to make the leap. But it has been my sincere pleasure to also build my business during this time.
Right.
Knowing that it's, again, pushing me into my purpose and allowing me to serve women on a much deeper level, because while I'm really great at what I do, my passion is really in serving and helping women really in their personal and professional growth through wardrobe and personal mm-hmm. style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, there's something I picked up on there, and it's probably not what you're expecting, but you basically owned how great you were. And you said you were great at what you do, which is fantastic, because I find so many women who don't own how great they are. You know, they want to be humble. And I've always been much of the opinion that I've earned this. It's not necessary for me to be humble per se in that way, because I've actually earned this and I'm good at what I do. So how did you get to that level of confidence, to be that self-assurity in yourself?
It wasn't always that way, of course. It grew. Part of it was me learning to assert myself in different situations and just learning again, and having an appreciation for that growth, right? We
Yes.
have to have a self-awareness that growth is a part of the journey. We start somewhere and, we really think about strategically where we want to be and what it takes to get there. So for me, it was just about I've always been very passionate about personal development. And so in that, I knew that there were some things from like an emotional intelligence standpoint and just from growth, again, personal and professional, that I needed to meet, go through those stage gates to get to where I wanted to be. That's what really, I think, built my confidence and had me, is knowing that, A, I brought value, right? My knowledge and my expertise was really valuable. And I needed to be able to demonstrate that in the, in the spaces that I was in. And, I had to learn to do that. So that's what built the confidence for me.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Now, in your application, you talked about how your choice to change direction was driven by personal life events. And I love a good transition story. So if you don't, if it's okay with you, would you like to expand on what made you change direction, was making you or is making you change direction away from the corporate world you're in now?
Absolutely. I love to share it because I hope that this is a testimony of resilience for other women who are facing things of this nature. But at the top of COVID, I was diagnosed with four meningiomas or benign brain tumors and just came out of nowhere. Not a history of this in my family, never experienced or known anyone to experience this. And so, in the course of 3 months, I went from finding this out to having all the tests run to meeting with, neurologists and neurosurgeons to actually having surgery to remove a brain tumor that was sitting on my optic nerve on my right eye. I had a really vibrant recovery in terms of the surgery went really well. It was, I was really healthy at the time, just a few years ago, and it was the best time to do it. So I opted to go ahead and have that surgery. Coming out of that, again, a vibrant recovery. I was back to work in 6 weeks, which just spoke to just the amazing human body and how God, just heals us. And so got back to work and, it was almost as if I picked up exactly where I left off, right? There was no time to really breathe. And the same demands and pace that was required of me beforehand was still required of me, afterward. And I felt this sense of, I never really had a chance to like step back and kind of get my breath. And, it was just like, have surgery. You got your 6 weeks, you're back to work. There was no time to really rest in any of that. And so life goes on, and I'm still doing the things that I do because I'm very driven, again, both personally and professionally. So I'm still like taking life as it comes and doing all the things. Well, about a year later, a little more than a year later, I guess December of 22, I suffered a stroke in my sleep. It was 2 days after Christmas, a couple of days. It was my husband's birthday. And I just woke up feeling, not very well, but nothing, there were no physical signs, right? So my face wasn't drooping. All the classic symptoms or signs that you would see with people who suffered stroke, I didn't have them. So although I knew something was very wrong with my body, I didn't know at that time that it was a stroke.
Wow.
And it really wasn't until probably a month later that it was confirmed through an MRI. I was going for a routine MRI. I went to urgent care and the emergency room, and no one identified it as a stroke because,
Wow.
again, it's like, my body wasn't showing the typical
Yeah.
signs, and they weren't,
Yeah.
even though I was describing, as best I could it, how I felt, no one would call it a stroke. But it was read on the MRI that it was a stroke. And that day, right after I had that MRI, they wouldn't send me home. They sent me straight to the emergency room, my husband and I. And therein began this, tirade of, doctor's appointments and tests and all these things to figure out what caused the stroke,
Yeah.
if this was something that was going to continue to happen, and how they were going, to prevent it from happening. And so what they ultimately discovered is that because they were unable to get all of the tumor when I had surgery, what was left was pressing against
Ah.
my carotid artery and
Right.
causing what's called watershed stroke in that area of my brain. But that was kind of it for me. That was the turning point in terms of where I thought, time freedom and is so important to me. And so how do I start to shift my life in a way that is going to support better wellness for me and well-being, because, they'll find another Courtney to do the things that I'm doing. But, just spending that time with my family, being present with my family, and being more tuned into what I wanted to do, not just working for a salary, but working towards something that really fulfilled me. And made me feel like I was purposeful, right? That I had really found my purpose. And so, if you told me a year ago that I'd be speaking about this and sharing this, because this has become a very real part of my pivot, is my testimony in this resilience and overcoming and still pressing through, because so many women of us women do that, right? Like we just do what we have to do. We don't even question it. And people come to expect that of us, right? Like they see you keep on keeping on, and that's what you do. And so there has to be, at some point, somebody has to say, okay, wait a minute, stop here. Let's figure out how we can really take care of ourselves on a much deeper level. So that has been the transition for me. That is what spurred the transition. And why I'm actively working to make sure that I'm in a place where, again, the time freedom and the financial freedom, affords me the ability to just focus on the things that are most important.
And thank you so much for sharing that. I didn't know it was that le it was that depth, and
Absolutely.
you're looking fabulous, you know. So
Oh, thank
yeah, you're
you.
looking fabulous. So, you know, I guess for you it's almost like you say, sometimes our body gives us warning shots, and we decide what we're going to do with it. We've got what we're going to do with them, and you're making the right decisions for you because you're here.
Absolutely.
And the thing you said, there's something that you said there. You said that they'll always find another Courtney, and I think I love that perspective. The fact that you realize you're not indispensable per se, because a lot of us in our careers believe we are the only person that can do a particular job, or they won't find another person. So we stick it out, spending it, you know, depend no matter how bad it is. We believe we're the only person that can do this role. And sometimes I call it the me, myself, and I syndrome, because we believe we're the only one going through this process, facing this thing, can do this job. You know, if you come, so my question, let me get to the point here, is if you met another person, another woman who was maybe what I call a lifer in a job, you know, had always done that job and stuff like that, what would be the one piece of advice you'd say to them if they're, because at this stage, what I find is that they're often reticent now to change because they don't know anything else, or that's their impression. So what would be your, probably your piece of advice to them to say, well, look, you can do this.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with introspection, right? We have to really dig deep into our values and our belief system.
Yes.
And when you do that and it start that starts to reflect who you are, I think that's when you can feel confident that you can do something different and that it doesn't just have to end here and this is not all that you can do in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or that not be afraid to step out into something new,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You can have three or four different careers over, the span of your lifetime, if that's what you wish to do.
Yeah.
And you made a good point. I think people will stick with something just for the sake of sticking with it,
Yeah.
not really wanting to embrace the joy and the happiness that comes with really following your purpose. So I think most people who choose to stay, it's because, like you said, they've kind of become like apathetic
Yeah.
and they also don't really know what their purpose is here, right? And if they're willing to kind of dig into that, ask the really important questions
Yeah.
and really look inwardly,
Yeah.
then they'll say, okay, I don't need to be doing this. This is not where God wants me or what
Yeah.
all that He has for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And I loved you said about the introspection, because one of the key things I always do when I work with my clients is to actually review your values. What matters to you now? Because I always tell them the values you had in your 20s and your 30s, when you were, really, really should differ. I'd question why they haven't differed if it's still the same things in your 50s and beyond, or 40s and beyond. So, looking at your values and understanding what's important to you now at this point, at this stage of your life, is really important, because a lot of women struggle with knowing what is my purpose. What is my purpose? And I always think it's a bit of a fluffy thing, because what is my purpose? So I start with looking at, well, what's important to me first. What are my values? So thanks for sharing that. So
Absolutely.
Courtney, embarking on this midlife journey, making this pivot, what do you wish you would known when you embarked on this next stage of your career?
Well, I wish that I had embraced boldness, right? I just wish I had been a little bit more bold in just in life and peer in general,
Yeah.
right? I traditionally have been pretty reserved and I was much more shy when I was younger. It's taken me a while to come out of my shell.
Yeah.
And, life experiences will bring you out though, right? And they will really show you different things about yourself.
Yeah.
So for me, getting through those medical things and just being here
Yeah.
makes me feel like God has kept me here for a reason. And so now I'm just kind of like, there's no
Yeah.
way I can fail. Like there's a reason, there's a purpose that I'm here, and I'm determined to live that out.
And where do you wish you would have been more bolder?
In honoring my own choices and making decisions that really honored what I wanted to truly do. Straight out of college, I actually became a flight attendant.
Okay.
It was so I flew the world. I was based in San Francisco for a couple of years. And then I felt pressure to get a quote unquote real job. And so the decision I wish I had made was just to go with whatever I felt at that time, right?
Yeah,
Not to be pressured into something because you felt like you had to do something in corporate or get the right type of job, right? I think the right type of job is the job that uses your gifts and your abilities. And again, you've got to tap into that though, right? Like, what are my gifts and what am I really good at? Not just because I studied well and I did well in biology and chemistry, but what are my God-given gifts and talents and how can I put those to use?
So what I'm hearing there, because to me, you said flight attendant, I thought, wow, that's a real glamorous job. There's lots of people aspire to being that, to doing that. But you felt, as you said, pressure to do something different. So I suppose, who was giving you the pressure is probably the question. And what were you being you you, you I suppose why? Why? Why, what was deemed, wrong about your role?
Comparison. It's the whole comparison thief, right? Really comparing yourself to, my peers who were either in graduate school or, other professional schools and things like that. And then, believe it or not, most of the people that my colleagues, my flight attendant colleagues, were people who had already been in a career, right? They'd had another career, and then they ch chose to become a flight attendant. So it, yeah, that dynamic was really different because here I am with these people who they've had a whole career and now they're choosing to do this, but here I'm starting out here. So there were all these competing, things in my mind and in my going through my head about where do I want to be, right? And what do I want to do? So again, that takes a lot of, inward, reflection and really understanding. And, unfortunately, I don't think, although I, enjoyed my college experience and really wouldn't trade it for the world, I'm not sure it prepared me in terms of really knowing where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. So.
And I'm talking to you now, I can hear that inner conflict that you were having. I can almost be, I can almost hear it, that this is what I want to do, but it's not what I want to do, but I've got to do
Right.
it.
Exactly. And it's just like there was this conflict when people asked me about myself. When you travel, people want to know, like, where are you from? Tell me your story. And when I say, oh, I just graduated from college, I have a BS in biology and chemistry, a minor in women's studies. Well, why are you a flight attendant? Like, why aren't you, or do you want to be a doctor? And I, once upon a time, I wanted to be pre-med. And then I met this doctor who was like chief of staff in urology on the plane in first class, and had a conversation with him, and he said, I would never advise any of my children to go to medical school. And he talked about, I've got a great career, I'm happy in what I do, but if I had to do it all over again, I probably wouldn't choose this route. And then he talked about how doctors needed other types of training that they're, especially if you're going to have private practices and, experience in business. And it was just a whole conversation. And I thought, well, he really hasn't convinced me to want to go to medical school at all. So that's out the window. So yeah. I mean, God
Fabulous.
makes no mistakes. He wastes nothing. I certainly wouldn't be where I am and as keen, about where I'm going, but things could be different had I made different choices for sure.
Definitely. And it always is. There's always the woulda, coulda, shoulda, but we are where we
Right.
are. Where we are, we are. So, Courtney, so far you're making this transition. So, what's been the most difficult part for your transition so far? And what do you think could have made things a little bit easier for you?
I think the biggest, the most difficult part for me has been having confidence in myself. When you're in corporate and you're building someone else's dream, essentially, it's different when you're doing this for yourself. And so my train of thought was, if I can go do this for someone else every single day, surely I can do this for myself. But therein also, there's a very big difference between working in corporate and building your business as an entrepreneur. Although there are some transferable skills, it's a very different dynamic. And there's some different things that are required. And so I think you have to get really clear about that, how it differs, and the dedication, the consistency, and just the belief in yourself that it takes to grow entrepreneurially, right? To know that you don't just have somebody, signing your paycheck. You really do have to make different choices and build a rapport, build the relationships, build your business. And so for me, that's been the most difficult part is like just having that confidence that if I will just stay in my lane and do exactly what I feel like I'm called to do in this space, that it will all come into fruition, you know?
It's that self-belief. Yeah.
Exactly.
I've lost my train of thought just then. I was going to, what I was going to say now. Oh, yes. The thing I was going to add to that as well, I think, so having made that transition myself, I was a corporate CEO for a number of years. And I decided, at the drop that this is enough now. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And I think sometimes we have to remember why we're doing it. Because one of the things, the pitfalls I fell into was measuring myself or my progress in my business as an entrepreneur as if I was in the corporate world, which was a spot, which is basically a road to nowhere. Because if I didn't have the, I didn't have the infrastructure that I would have had in the corporate world, so how could I measure myself in the same way? And also the results I was looking for, what I wanted when I went into my entrepreneurial journey, is very much different to what I want to my corporate. So I think adding to what you said, being very clear on what you want out of this next stage, it's not all financial, it's not all recognition and that kind of stuff. Being clear on what you want out of that next stage is paramount.
Right. You make an excellent point. And that's exactly how I feel. Exactly.
So for me, it was having, as you said, you wanted more time and stuff like that. I wanted more freedom. I moved countries. I live in the Caribbean, and I wasn't seeing it. I wasn't spending any time doing what I came here to do. So something had to give, and I was exhausted. And so something had to give. So yeah. So Courtney, just dwelling on your career so far, your journey so far, how has failure made a positive difference in your life? Because people always see failure as a negative, but I see it's very positive.
Absolutely. It moves you toward your purpose, right? The things that you fail at cause you to adjust and reflect in a way that just, gives you a better understanding of where you're supposed to be. So, yeah, failing forward, I completely agree with that because it pushes you to something new, something different, something that's more aligned with where you need to be. Because when one door closes, another opens, and usually it's the one that you need to be going through anyway. So, I firmly believe that our failures or our mistakes really are stepping stones to get to where we need to be.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
Wow. That's a really dynamic question. Trying to think. There are so many incredible women. I can tell you that it would be a woman because I really believe in just the power that we bring, the presence and the poise, the posture, all the things that women bring to the table is unmatched in my opinion. So it would definitely be a woman. And I would love for it to be a woman of color, right?
Oh, definitely.
And so for me, eesh, this is so hard. Well, someone that just sticks out in my mind is Melanie Hobson. Something about her and her, career and her lifestyle just intrigues me, and just kind of how she's built and the woman that she is, that's the first person that comes to mind in terms of somebody that I believe could probably mentor me in terms of her experience and the depth and breadth of her career.
What is it about that intrigues you?
Anytime I've ever heard her speak, how adept she is in her knowledge base, right? In the things I think the most recent thing I watched was one of her, I think she did one of those, fails my memory, one of those master classes. I think she did a master class. And yeah, I was just really intrigued by her story and just her experience and how she encourages, she really has a passion for encouraging women as well in the financial space and that type of thing. And I don't know, I just I really do feel like she's somebody that I could learn a lot from.
Fabulous. Well, let me give you a little easier question then. What are the three things that you've learned about yourself during your career?
I am extremely curious, and that has served me well. I'm not afraid of ambiguity, so I'm very persistent. I'm not someone who will give up easily. I've learned that, I value relationships, and so the way I treat people and the way I respond to people, the rapport that I try to build, and my communication skills are outstanding in that respect. So yeah, I would say persistence, really great communicator, and just, curious, and I think that curiosity is something that really serves us well from the perspective that we don't know it all. We can never know it all. Like, school is never out for the professional, right? So remaining open and being teachable, I think, is something that's hugely important. And so that's something that I've always embraced. Like, I don't mind learning from someone, especially people who are more experienced than I am. I never go into a situation feeling like I know it all. I'm always there to learn more. So yeah, I think those are the qualities that I feel like have served me
That's
well.
great. And I think having a sense of curiosity in midlife when it comes to careers is a real added bonus, because earlier in our conversation we talked about the people that are in life and thinking they're fearful of making that change, when actually if they reframed what they thought, how they thought about things, and the fact is they've actually got a wealth of experience and have a level of curiosity of how to apply that experience in different situations would go a long way.
Absolutely.
And being and unafraid to accept help and support when needed. I think, again, we're always very strong, and I think we can be very proud to a detriment. Pride, can be detrimental to us, and feeling that we, or maybe we feel we have to know everything. And there's a that we, we don't feel secure enough or confident enough if we admit that we don't.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we have to embrace that for sure, that we don't. That's when you learn the most, is when you open up to, the fact that you don't have all the answers, and you're open to other perspectives and diversity of thought.
Fabulous. Absolutely. So coming down to our last couple of questions, coming down to our last couple of questions, Courtney. The question I always love to ask my guests is, what does success feel like to you?
Success feels like peace. Feels peaceful. It feels like, there's no competition. I'm not even competing with myself, that I accept myself fully and completely as I am, right? With all the things that are great, and even the areas of opportunity, that I just embrace and accept all of that. And I'm at peace with who I am. That's what success feels like for me.
Beautiful. That's nice. I like that. I like that a lot. So what next for Courtney? What's happening? What's occurring for you?
Well, I feel like things have just really sparked in terms of this, where I'm going in my life and my business. I have really been dialed in for the first quarter of the year in developing my own methodology or framework to work with women on a deeper level. So when we talk about, the whole fusion of faith and fashion, which is really my bent, for me, it's more about helping women understand how to show up in their expertise through their wardrobe, right? And making sure that that aligns with their purpose. So it's a much deeper work. It's way beyond the clothes. It's really about, again, digging into those values and those beliefs, understanding your purpose, and then figuring out how do we show that to the world? How do we show up in that? How do we put that on? Right. And
Great.
so, yeah, I've got a few clients right now, and it's just been exciting to start to support them and guide them in that way. Because it's like you said, if you're not asking the questions, you don't really know. And I think that's where a lot of women are. Like they're in a place where they really haven't asked the right questions. And revealing those things can really propel you into a much more fulfilling place in life and in your purpose. So.
Excellent. And I hear you've got a book coming up as well.
I do. So I wrote last year as a part of a book anthology. And so that will be launching in next month. I keep forgetting whether we're in March or April. It launches in April. And it's, stories of resilience among Black women. And, all of them are not health related. There are so many different, just a myriad of stories, but all of them reflect the resilience and the boldness and the ability to overcome where they were, to get to this new place. And so I am just so pleased to have been a part of that. And for people to be able to read my story from a completely different perspective, to understand that it's really not about what I went through, it's about the transformation that occurred as a result of going through that. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. So you've got a wonderful story. So if women want to connect, well, who would you want to, who would you love to work with, and how can they connect with you, Courtney?
Right. So I love connecting with women leaders who are looking to make, more impact, gain more visibility. Women who kind of feel like they're hidden in plain sight, right? They're doing all the things, they're showing up, they're brilliant, right? They're so great at what they do, but they still feel like they're being overlooked in a sense, right? And so what I like to do is partner with them to help them, refine their wardrobe and refine basically their inner confidence in such a way that they're able to show up that much more boldly and brighter and with better confidence. And
Beautiful.
so, yeah, any woman in leadership who is either, maybe she's already in the C-suite, but again, she's hidden in plain sight, or maybe it's someone who's making their ascent in corporate, right? And they want to find out how to show up as, their most authentic self.
Lovely. And how can they connect with you?
They can connect with me primarily through LinkedIn. So I have a presence there. You can go to my website, imagebycourtney.com, and that will actually take you to, a lot of different things that I do. It'll connect you with, articles that I write. It'll connect you with the brand new quiz that I just launched called the Purpose Palette Persona Quiz. And that's all about presence, poise, passion, and purpose, and digging into those things, just revealing some things about yourself that maybe you weren't aware of that can help you grow both personally and professionally.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Well, it sounds like things are going wonderfully, and there's a lot going on for you, Courtney. So thank you so much for joining me today. It was great having a chat with you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. All we have time for today, and I hope you found it to be a really powerful conversation. I certainly did. Courtney's story is a testament to the human spirit's incredible strength and resilience, and what we can do when we really focus on what's important to us. Remember, prioritizing your well-being isn't selfish. I always talk about self first, because that self-care, putting yourself first, is essential. When you take care of yourself, you show up as your best self for your family, your career, and your community. So take that, put some thought into that, make sure where you can take care of yourself a little bit better. Don't forget, you can head over to my website, jannysutherland.com or www.jannysutherland.com, to find out more information about how I can help you in the mid-career journey, help you create a career and life on the terms that you deserve. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe to This Woman Can newsletter so you never miss out on an episode of This Woman Can. And we've got amazing interviews and lots more content coming your way all season long. So that's it for this week. And until next time, remember, stay strong, stay beautiful, stay fabulous. And remember, if I can, you can, this woman can. Take care until next time. Thanks for listening. If you got something from this week's episode, please let me know. Better yet, share it with your friends, colleagues, and anyone you know who can benefit from this message. Don't forget to subscribe or write a review and connect with me at my website, jannysutherland.com, where you can also subscribe to the This Woman Can newsletter or connect with me on LinkedIn. Remember, you have the wisdom, resilience, authenticity, and power to create a life on your terms. And if I can, you can, this woman can. Take care until next time.